Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I suppose if I were inclined to pick and choose in teaching the Bible, that I would certainly skip 1 Peter chapter 3, at least the first several verses, because it is a very touchy subject for many people. It is, as you know, one of the areas in the Bible that teach the wife's submission to her husband. And so if we skipped around and dealt with things only in a haphazard and occasional way, I sure would skip over this one. And that is one of the reasons for the benefit, why there's great benefit in consecutive expository preaching and teaching. In other words, taking a book of the Bible and working through it verse by verse by verse, because it forces you to deal with everything, not just the popular things or just the easy things, but it forces you to deal with everything that is there. And that's for our benefit. If God gave it, we need to understand it and apply it. If God didn't want us to have it, He wouldn't have given it to us. It's not our responsibility to edit the Word of God. It's our responsibility to receive the Word of God. And if we're going to receive what God has given, we're going to have to deal with all of it, the good and the bad as we view it. There is no bad, of course, but the good and the bad, the hard and the easy, again, as we view it, the popular and the unpopular. So, with that in mind, we will return to 1 Peter 3:1 on this Wednesday, November 13, enabled to do so by the generous gifts of some of our radio listeners. Thank you very much. Well, here it is, 1 Peter 3:1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Wives are required to submit themselves. You may recall from a previous broadcast, a voluntary submission, but voluntary as far as the wife is concerned. I mean, she's called upon to do it herself. Her husband is not commanded to force her to do it. Not commanded to, not instructed to, not permitted to, as far as I can tell, to come up with a doctrine that the husband has the responsibility to force his wife into submission is to read things into the Bible that are not there. You have to come to that by way of implication, but there certainly is no teaching, no specific instruction along those lines. And so what you think is a clear implication, someone else is convinced is not, is just the opposite. So we don't have any instructions like that, but we do have this requirement for Christian women, well, really for all women, but presumably Christian women who believe the Bible and are submitted to the authority of God's Word. This is what God requires of you. As a voluntary act of obedience to God, you are to voluntarily submit yourself to your own husbands. And this is simply the recognition that God has structured marriages and the home, and God has chosen the responsibilities that go with the various roles, the responsibilities that He assigns to husbands, the responsibilities that He assigns to wives. And that's God's prerogative, because God is God, and God created it. It's really just as simple as that. God did it. We just recognize and receive what God has done. And so from the husband's part, wives are to be valued and respected and appreciated and loved. But for the wife's part, wives are to be submissive to their husbands as their God-appointed head. And that's just the way God did it. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. That's another way of telling us that we're talking about an exclusive relationship between a wife and her own husband. It is a defined relationship. It is a restricted relationship. You are to be to submit yourself to your own husband, not to any other man. Now, of course, there may be other relationships that have instructions in God's Word as well, such as employee, employer, and so forth, and that may bring other areas of submission to other men in different roles. But this is not a general admonition, a general requirement that women are to submit themselves to all men. This isn't that all men are in charge and all women are to submit to every man simply because he's a man. That's not what this says. But if you are a wife, you are to submit yourself to your own husband. Because that's the way, I repeat, that God has ordained it, and society requires authority relationships. It really breaks down without it. God knows that. He knows us. He knows what we need. And he knows how society works best. So we are wise if we will recognize God's instructions and follow them. And it ultimately boils down to your submission to Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are required to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as your authority. And since Christ is the one who gives these instructions, that wives are to be submissive to their husbands, then of course you will submit yourself to that requirement if you are a Christian wife. And if you are unwilling to do so, then what you are really doing is not casting off the authority of your husband as much as you are casting off the authority of Christ. And you need to understand what you're doing here. Don't deceive yourself. I know people who do that. Oh, I'm a Christian. I obey Christ. I'm willing to obey Christ, but I'm not willing to obey my husband. How does that work when Christ tells you to obey your husband? How can you be submitted to Christ and not be submitted to your husband? Now, even though all God would need to do is to tell us what he requires and put a period at it at the end of it, in other words, he's not required to give any reasons for these instructions, nevertheless, he chooses to do so here. And so here's what it is. And I read on, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of the wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." So, in the first place, this tells us that the instruction holds even if your husband is not a Christian. In fact, Peter is dealing specifically with those cases where the husband evidently is not. That's what he has in mind. Not that if you have a Christian husband, it changes the requirement. But he is dealing specifically with those cases where a wife has a husband. The wife is a Christian. The husband is not. And that, of course, in many instances, is going to be a far more difficult situation, and one that some people might think would permit an exception. Well, yes, I ought to be submissive to a Christian husband who's acting like a Christian, who's acting the way he ought to act, loving me like Christ loved the church and so forth. I can do that. I can understand that. I'm willing to do that. But you're telling me that I must be submitted to my non-Christian husband who does not submit himself to the authority of God's word? I don't think so. Well, you didn't read 1 Peter 3:1-2 very carefully, and I will read it again. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word? They without a word may be won by the conduct of the wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And so the first reason to submit is to overcome an unequal yoke, that even if some do not obey the word. This instruction to submit applies in equal yoke marriages, and it applies in unequal yoke marriages. It applies even where husbands do not obey the word. That's what it says. That even if some do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of the wife. Where the husband does not obey the word. Of course, that means the word of God. You say, well, my husband claims to be a Christian, but he's not obeying the word of God. What about that? Well, that would apply here as well, wouldn't it? This doesn't really specifically say if your husband's not a Christian. That's what we would understand this phrase to mean. If any obey not the word, that would be a general description of someone who's not a Christian. But of course, that means that the same instruction applies if your husband claims to be a Christian but is not being obedient to the word. It's not your prerogative to say, you're not being obedient to the word, therefore I don't have to be submissive to you. Nope. Now, we would presume that Peter has in mind a wife who got married when she was unsaved, and then she became a Christian after marriage, and now she's in an unequal yoke, married to an unsaved husband. And that's a difficult situation. It's a difficult situation anywhere it occurs, and I think it must have been especially difficult in the first century world, where there was not the same level of respect for women as being equal to men as far as their intrinsic value and worth is concerned, as is common in American society today. In a world where basically women had no rights, they were not valued as equal members of society. That would be greatly mitigated in the case of a Christian husband who has come to learn differently and to treat his wife with respect and honor and love like Christ loved the church. But what about that husband who has these Roman, macho Roman ideas about the superiority of all men over women and the greater value of men over women and men being just a superior form of human being to women? All the things that we talked about in the previous broadcast that are absolutely not true, but that would be the philosophy of most Roman men. And what about that situation? That's difficult. That's mighty difficult. But Peter says that doesn't make an exception. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that if some do not obey the word. By the way, how do you identify whether a person is a Christian or not? Well, not by simply their profession, but by their obedience to the word. That really is Peter's way of describing a Christian. A Christian is one who obeys the word. Peter doesn't seem to feel the need to qualify that or explain that, or doesn't think that's a strange way of defining a Christian. That's just the way everybody understood the definition of Christian in the first century. I wonder why it would be so hard for people to understand that today. But there we are. That's the requirement. So join me tomorrow and we'll look at it again. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.